Thank you, everyone. It's so great being here. So I'm Simon, and I'm a developer, a tech lead engineer at CBI Functional. And a little bit about myself, I've been doing Kotlin since 2015. I've been doing functional programming a bit longer than that. And well, I'm really in love with both things, so we try to improve things as much as we can. And I'm also one of the lead maintainers of Arrow, which is a functional library in Kotlin. So today I want to talk a little bit about functional programming in Kotlin, and there's three big topics that we often talk about, which are dependency injection, side effects, and typed errors. What I don't want to go into today is comparing it to different languages like Haskell or Scala, because I only have 20 minutes of time, so I need to kind of, you know, pick my topics. So I want to talk about these three things, and I will maybe sometimes refer to some other things from other languages, but if you do not follow or know them, it's not really important. Oh. So first of all, dependency injection. I'm also not going to go into why we do dependency injection, but often when we are writing programs, you might have something like this, where you have a database, where you can run some queries, you have a logger, where you can log some stuff, and then you need to now write a program that uses these two things to build some logic. So the most vanilla function that we can probably write in Kotlin might look something like this, where you have a fetch user function. It takes in an ID, it takes in both dependencies, we run some query, we make a log statement, and we return a value. Right? So this is the most vanilla, pure functional signature function that we can write in Kotlin. But it's not really that great, because if you want to write some other code using this function, we need to always, you know, wire and pass these parameters manually around. So you will see in your code that after a while, you're always manually passing all these parameters around and wiring all this stuff. It causes quite some boilerplate, and typically it's not very interesting to read, because we are really only interested in fetching the user with the ID, and all their stuff might be a little bit, you know, sidetracking or making our code more complex. So for mentioning all the different kinds of techniques that you can do dependency injection, I wanted to use or include this version. It's not the one that I'm going to recommend, but I'm going to cover it anyway. So for those that are not familiar with this pattern, you can write an extension function, fetch user on a generic type that we call context. You can then say this context needs to extend both the database and the logger. And then inside of the method body, you again get access to the database methods and the logger methods, and you can write the same function as before. But this is quite complex to read. It's a pattern that's probably very foreign to most people. And to actually call this method, you now have to create a type that extends both database and logger. So this is probably not a very ideal pattern to use to solve this problem. The cool thing, however, is that we can now define again a new function, and as you can see within the map function of the list, you don't have to pass the parameters around, but we have to define again an extension function on context, which, you know, is constrained to having a database and a logger as a super type. So this is a bit complex. This is the solution that I do not recommend, but it works in Kotlin today. So as you might have guessed, a really neat solution that is an upcoming feature in Kotlin is called context receivers. And you can now annotate or mark your function with a context keyword, and you can say to call this function, the context of the database and the logger need to be available. And you can only call this function when both of these types are available. And again, inside of the method body, that gives you access to the functions of the database and the logger, because you've constrained your function to say this function can only be called when these types are available. Right? So we get access to the query method and the log method. And to call this method, or, you know, to make the context of the database and the logger concrete, we need to at some point in your program say, okay, I'm going to call this function with this instance of the database and with this instance of the logger. And as you can see here, this is valid Kotlin in the current 1.8.0 and even in the 1.7 releases. This is valid Kotlin. This is code that you can write and compile to DOI, albeit only for the GVM, and you need to explicitly opt into the experimental features of Kotlin context receivers. But this is a very neat solution because, you know, we didn't have to do this type dance with the extension function and the where constraints. We don't have to pass the parameters to the fetch user function. This is done automatically for us by the compiler. And this allows us to, in a very neat way, do dependency injection using context receivers. And of course, what we love about functional programming is we want everything to be available in the function signature. So here you can very clearly see in the function signature that the database and the logger are required for calling the fetch user function. So a different very hot topic within functional programming is side effects. So typically, in talking about functional programming, you often say you don't want to do side effects, but we typically have to write side effects to call or write useful programs. Like we have to log something to the system, to the console, or to a server. We need to call a database to, you know, interact with external systems. So we need side effects to write our programs. But what do we want to do? We want to track the effects at compile time, which means that you should not be allowed to nilly-willy call side effects wherever in your program without knowing about it. You want side effects to be composable in a safe manner, and that allows you to reason about your code in a more clear way, or it allows you to reason about where side effects happen in your program. So let's again take our two dependencies of the database and the logger, and here we are actually violating that rule because we're saying we have a regular function query and a regular function log, and they're just performing some side effects underneath. So as you again might have guessed, we can mark these functions with suspend, which is a feature in the Kotlin language. And now these side effects can be compile time tracked. So what does that mean for these side effects to be compile time tracked? When, now that we've marked these functions as suspend, and we again take our previous method of fetch user, this function will no longer compile. Right, so where the red lines are, it will fail to compile, and you will see a compiler method saying the suspend function query and log should only be called from a coroutine or another suspend function. So since that the fetch user function was not marked as suspend, we cannot call these other suspend functions in the method body. Right? So that is to say that our side effects that we now marked as suspend are now compile time tracked. Right? So our compiler is now tracking for us that these functions can only be called from another coroutine or another function that is marked as suspend. So simply by marking our fetch user function also as suspend, we propagate that, you know, the fetch user function is side effecting in its method body or in its function body. And now anybody that calls the fetch user function also needs to state that it performs some side effects. Some other languages, there is often used an IO type, which appears in the return type. And you can compare it to a callback. So for example, in Java, we often use callbacks for these kinds of operations, right? If you call the database, often you have to provide a callback, as we also saw in the previous talk. And then the callback will say it will either result with a successful value of T or a failure of type trouble, right? And the suspend system does the same thing for us through a technique that is called continuation passing style. So the compiler automatically takes care of all the heavy lifting. So just to give you an example, if you would have to manually rewrite this function using callbacks and continuation, it would look like this. It's quite horrible. It's not nice to read because these are actually the only lines that we cared about. We saw that the code exploded to almost double in size. We have this nesting of callbacks. We get this tree hierarchy in our code. It's not nice to read, and it really obscures about what we were actually doing in the code. So thanks to the Kotlin compiler, we get this super nice syntax, and everything is extremely optimized in the runtime, so there's really not any penalties that we have to pay for this nice syntax. And you can do all this awesome stuff thanks to the Kotlin compiler in a very efficient way. So really, really neat. And it's very similar in spirit to this context receiver that we already saw for DI. What is actually really neat about Suspend in Kotlin, and this is a solution that has not really been solved in any other language that I know about, is that we have this map function on our list. And the map function on our list is, of course, not suspending. It's a pure function. It goes over every value in the list and maps it from type A to type B. But we can call this suspend function inside as long as our fetch all function is also marked as suspend. So this constraint of side effects travels through this map function through the list. And the Kotlin compiler is able to track where this is valid. And I'm not going to go too deeply into what it is. In this case, or in most cases, because the map function is inline, so the compiler knows that it can replace the code of the map function inside of the body of fetch all, and that through this mechanism, this constraint of side effecting is allowed to pass through. Right? So the compiler takes care of all of this, and we don't have to know or